Green Bay Packers fans. This is Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. It's Friday. It's March, 25th today? And we are talking about the Green Bay Packers. And big things in the news today are their appearances at Pro Days, their scouts checking out prospects around the nation. So we'll be talking heavily about that. Really excited today to talk to a couple guests. Loaded show today. First of all, in just minutes, we're going to talk to Sigmund Bloom of footballguys.com. We're going to talk about Edmund Gates. Hang on, I'm going to get to Edmund Gates in a second. And the NFL draft. He's an NFL draft prospect. We're also, at the bottom of the hour, at 8:30 a.m. Lambeau time, going to talk to Northern Illinois running back Chad Spann, another draft prospect. The 2010 MAC Offensive Player of the Year. Talented guy. So we're going to talk to him, and I'm really excited about talking to all these people. Just a loaded show today here on a Friday morning at Railbird Central. So some exciting stuff going on. Let's get right to it. You can comment on our live blog by tweeting with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV. So feel free to do that, and your comments will show up on our live blog, or use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. And your comments are also being approved this morning by our great moderators, Alex Talich and Jamie Jors of the Packers Lounge. So any way you want to get through to the show, it's up to you today. So we got plenty of options available. I've left a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links at the top of the live blog. If you scroll up and click it, you can follow along. You'll find a little screen that looks like this if you're watching the live portion of the show and not the broadcast. On today's Packers Daily Links, the first story today is about a scout of the Green Bay Packers showing up at the Abilene Christian University Pro Day held yesterday in Texas. So if you click this story, it'll take you to The Optimist, which is the student newspaper, I believe, at Abilene Christian. And it talks about the Pro Day event held yesterday. Abilene Christian, of course, just a small school in Texas, not even the FBS level, Division I. But they have one big-time prospect, and that's wide receiver Edmund Gates. Gates ran the fastest 40 time at the NFL Combine last month, about a month ago in February. And I'll just read this portion of the story here from The Optimist. It says, quote, "It was Gates who headlined the event, though, and he failed to disappoint. Although he chose not to run the always exciting 40-yard dash, Gates improved his standing broad jump from the NFL Combine by 3 inches for a new mark of 11 feet, 3 inches, with former Angelo State quarterback Josh Neiswander throwing him passes. Gates effortlessly caught every ball that came his way." So, Packers in attendance at his pro day, checking out a pretty good prospect. Not a first-round guy here by any means, but we're going to talk here. We're going to call right now. We're going to call Sigmund Bloom of Football Guys, who talked about Gates last night on his own podcast on the Audible at footballguys.com. So Sigmund knows a little bit more about the about Edmund Gates. Sigmund lives in Texas, so knows a little bit more about him. We're going to pick his mind a little bit. So hang on here 1 second while I give him a call. Here we go. We got a ringing sound here. It says it's connecting. I'm waiting here. I'm hoping this is working. There we go. A little bit of a delay, but it works. Sigmund, how are you?
Good.
Good. You're live on air on Railbird Central. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. As I heard, you spoke last night about Edmund Gates on the Audible podcast at Football Guys. Mm-hmm. What can you tell me about Edmund Gates? Of course, he's fast. He ran the fastest 40 time of any wide receiver at the Combine. But is that all this guy is? Is he just a speed guy, just a workout warrior?
No, not at all. And this is one of those special draft stories where you find out that players ended up taking a long and winding road to football. He wanted to be a basketball player, and he's only 6 feet tall, and he went to Tyler JC, and then he had tryouts at Georgia Tech and Georgetown, but he couldn't afford the airfare, and he tried to get on the Abilene Christian basketball team, and then finally his cousin, Bernard Scott, now running back with the Bengals, who played with Abilene Christian, convinced him to try some football. And now he is not just a speed demon. He's very flexible, very fluid, and he's rising up the board right now. I was talking to Josh Buchanan, who is one of the best small school scouts out there. He says he's not going to get past the third round. And I think that in a somewhat weak class, not a very deep class of wide receivers, you could see him really surprise people as one of those first small school players, maybe the first small school player off the board next month.
Wow. Did I get that right? You said third round?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is.
Yeah, you're seeing him mentioned. It is, and you're seeing him mentioned as a sixth, seventh rounder. But and sometimes we will pan people who say that stock is rising and falling right now because the scouts have been on this stuff, and it's really based a lot on game film and the combine and pro days and things like that. The All-Star games are really just double checking. But with these small school players, the film isn't necessarily as reliable because you need to see if the physical tools are there so that what you see on film will hold up against a higher level of competition. And as you brought up the 40 time and things like that, he had 11-foot-3-inch broad jump, which is outstanding. It is going to hold up for Gates.
If I'm correct, I believe Johnny Knox of the Chicago Bears is also from Abilene Christian. Is the success that school has had putting players in the NFL, you know, helping him out?
I think so. I think you're going to get a couple of things based on that. It's possible that NFL teams could look at the success of Johnny Knox and Bernard Scott again as whether it's the way that they identify talent at Abilene or maybe the way they coach the players and allow them to have an easy transition to NFL concepts and really translating what they have to the NFL game. I think you'll see that. And then just maybe you get more reliability, whereas if the Abilene Christian coach was telling you that, hey, these kids are good, they're NFL quality, and Scott and Knox end up being NFL quality, then when that coach comes to you and says Gates is NFL quality, you're going to trust him.
We're talking to Sigmund Bloom of footballguys.com and also of the Maple Street Press Packers Annual. Sigmund contributed last year and will be contributing again this year on the rookies, so the players that the Packers draft. And thank you, Sigmund, for contributing.
Oh, thank you. It's exciting.
Speaking about the wide receivers, there seems to be two really good guys in this year's draft class, Julio Jones of Alabama and A.J. Green of Georgia. And then there seems to be a drop-off after that. How significant is that drop-off to the next level of wide receivers?
It is significant. I think the best way we could put it is after Green and Jones, there just aren't any other true number ones or guys that you would project as number ones. Maybe Jonathan Baldwin from Pitt would be the one guy that would fall into that category, but he has some character stuff or just dedication or maturity that it seems to have come to the surface. And he's a guy who also had a poor year, his junior year come last year before he came out, was a really poor season, and that momentum is not there for him. Maybe Greg Little, a guy who was a beast of a running back, converted to wideout for North Carolina, but he's another one with no momentum coming in. So, you know, these are more project types. Otherwise, you have guys that are more speed players, slot receivers, number twos. Leonard Hankerson, if he was consistent, could be a number two. Randall Cobb could be a nice speed guy, a complimentary player. Janelle Jernigan from Troy. But the number ones are Green and Jones, but they are two of the surest things in the draft. I think you'll see them both gone by the 10th pick.
Who's going to be the number one overall draft choice in the to the Carolina Panthers? I've heard Marcel Darius from Alabama. I've heard Blaine Gabbert from Missouri. Who's it going to be? I mean, I've heard Patrick Peterson from LSU. So, sure. I mean, it's all over the board. Who's it going to be?
Well, and we're post-combine, so you really can't trust anything you hear in a sense that everything is going to be floated out there. And I think they're smart to keep that net as wide as possible to attract as many teams as possible that might want to trade up. But I think it's going to be a quarterback. When you're paying that number one signing bonus, well, who knows what that signing bonus is going to be? There's still a lot of things up in the air about that, but it'll be sizable. You give it to a position you're going to have to pay anyway. I mean, look at what backup quarterbacks get paid as much as starting positions at a lot of starting players at a lot of other positions. It's going to be Gabbert or Newton. I think that they need to really jumpstart that franchise. If Jimmy Clausen does end up being a great quarterback after all, then that's a great problem to have. They're doing their due diligence on Newton and Gabbert. They're working through it. I do think it's going to end up being Newton at the end just because you swing for the fences. You go for the guy with the highest upside. But I think in the end, when you sign that pick, you want it to be to a player who really can turn around the franchise, and a quarterback can do that.
Sigmund, thank you very much for joining us this morning. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day. And, I encourage everybody to go check out his work at footballguys.com. Thanks, Sigmund.
I always appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing who the next Sam Shields that the Packers can uncover and break down for Maple Street Press this year.
Very good. I look forward to your article. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bye.
Once again, Sigmund Bloom of footballguys.com checking in from Texas to talk about Edmund Gates, where the Packers were at his pro day at Abilene Christian University yesterday. Thank you so much, Sigmund, for coming to speak to us this morning. Wasn't that awesome? Third round. I couldn't believe that when I heard that. Third round that Edmund Gates might go. I just checking out websites and reading draft magazines and putting together our own draft magazine, the Cheesehead TV 2011 NFL Draft Guide. I mean, most places have Edmund Gates is kind of a late round type of prospect, probably not an undrafted guy, a guy who's going to get drafted, but that's the highest I've heard yet by far. So very interesting, and like we said, the fastest 40 time of any wide receiver at the NFL Combine. So interesting prospect, intriguing prospect. They've produced players before like Johnny Knox, and I believe that Abilene Christian has also produced Daniel Manning, if I'm correct. Maybe more, for all I know. I'm not an expert on their school. I'm not even sure. What division are they? Are they Division II? Division III? It's not FBS. It's not Division I. I know that much. But very interesting. Right now, all the talk, there's not a whole lot going on in the March, April, early April time frame other than pro day workouts in the NFL. It's kind of the topic du jour. I mean, even if there wasn't a lockout, that would still be one of the few things talking about. It's kind of one of the deadest times of the year in the NFL calendar. Right now, if there was everything, there was no lockout, there was a CBA in place, teams would just be getting their off-season workouts started. It wouldn't even be practices right now. It would just kind of be like weightlifting at the team's facilities, meetings with their individual position coaches. Maybe they do some drills, just individual drills, things like that. They probably don't even come together as a team yet that, they wait till after the draft to do those sort of things. Usually right after the draft, they have the rookie orientation camp where the rookies get together for the first time, just, kind of get acclimated to the atmosphere, acclimated to the schemes. And shortly after that is when they start actually having practices. I mean, not going to happen now with the lockout going on. But as we were saying, the stories of the day here are pro day workouts and where the Packers scouts are showing up, where their coaches, a lot of times the position coaches, I mean, all the coaches go to Pro Day workouts. We saw the head coach, Mike McCarthy, show up at the Wisconsin Pro Day event. I mean, the head coaches don't show up to too many. But the position coaches will go, you know, the quarterbacks coach, the running backs, offensive line coach. They'll go out occasionally to Pro Day workouts. And another one on the docket, if we go take a look again at the Packers Daily Links here, the second article down is about another Pro Day the Packers were at, this time at Arkansas State. This article coming from Tony Pauline of DraftInsider.net, and he's also the draft analyst at SportsIllustrated.com, SI.com. If you click this link, it'll take you to his Draft Insider website. Pardon me, one second. Had a little tickle in my throat. Kind of another little-known prospect here, certainly not a high-round guy, but the Packers were at Arkansas State, I believe, sometime last week, and Pauline has the scoop on that, and an offensive lineman was kind of the star of the show. Right at the bottom of his article here, Pauline writes, quote, "Keep offensive lineman Derek Newton of Arkansas State on the list of potential risers. Chicago Bears offensive line coach Mike Tice ran his pro day workout last week, which was attended by the Carolina Panthers, New York Giants, Green Bay Packers, Houston Texans, and St. Louis Rams. There's some thought teams may move the college tackle into guard. We feel he's best as a strong side tackle." So Derek Newton, University of Arkansas State. Took a looked him up before today's show, found out that he was in a first-team All-Sun Belt Conference selection this past year for Arkansas State, and I believe he was second-team All-Conference last year. So, you know, certainly the Sun Belt is perhaps the gets the least notoriety of all the Division I conferences. Seems to have kind of the smallest schools and kind of has the smallest profile, but that is Division I football, and you know, and Arkansas State, kind of a team on the rise. I think they will probably be in a bowl game next year. They have a real good quarterback. I forget the name off the top of my head, but kind of a team on the rise. And anyhow, so the Packers have their eye on Derek Newton, or at least they're checking him out, attended his pro day. So interesting name to keep an eye on. Another pro day workout, the third story today, down on today's Packers Daily Links. Packers were at South Dakota State. So the Packers attended that pro day workout. If you click the link here, it takes you to an article by Aaron Wilson at the National Football Post, nationalfootballpost.com. And I mean, I don't know if the Packers were there specifically to look at defensive back Cole Brody, but he was kind of the star of the show. And Aaron Wilson here writes, quote, "South Dakota State cornerback and kick returner Cole Brody ran the 40-yard dash in 4.41 and 4.43 seconds at his campus pro day workout, according to a league source with knowledge of the situation." So the Packers, once again, checking out the small schools here. South Dakota State, that's definitely not Division I either. I don't know what division it is, but not Division I. Of course, the Packers becoming known for uncovering the small school prospects and, you know, looking everywhere for talent, and this would certainly be one of the places. The Packers were, you know, one of quite a few teams, though, that attended this pro day. And Cole Brody, he was an all-conference selection, Missouri Valley Conference. They're Division I in basketball, not football. Oh, speaking of basketball, I imagine a lot of you stayed up and watched the debacle at Wisconsin and Butler at New Orleans last night. That was not a good game. as I wrote, Wisconsin got out-Wisconsin. I wrote that on Twitter. Butler plays very similar to Wisconsin. I mean, this is kind of a team that, you know, really known for their outworking their opponents, their hustle on defense, things like that. And just Butler flat out did it better than Wisconsin. Beat them at their own game. And Butler's good. I mean, this is a team that can make the Final Four again. I don't know how they had such a poor record in conference play, but that is a good team, no doubt about it. The Packers tear the Badgers didn't get beat by any slouches, that's for sure. But disappointing, especially when you have a big conference team, Big Ten, losing to a small conference team. Anyway, as I get off topic here, the Packers at South Dakota State's Pro Day. This guy, Cole Brody, also a kick returner, which is intriguing. Of course, the Packers need a return specialist. You know, there's all this talk right now with the rule changes, with kickoffs being moved up. There's going to be more touchbacks on kickoffs. And, you know, is that going to change the way the Packers draft? Do they no longer need a kick return specialist? Well, the stance I'm taking is that punt returns have not changed. Of course, this past year, all-pro cornerback, well, Pro Bowl cornerback Tremont Williams, I don't know if he was all-pro, he should have been. He returned punts as well, and I can't imagine the Packers want him to be the punt returner next year. He is now one of the best cornerbacks in the league. You don't want to subject him to injury. And it's not like Tremont Williams was very sure-handed, but it's not like he was a big threat on punt returns. You know, so they're going to need a return guy on punt returns. And also, it's not like every kickoff is going to turn into a touchback on kickoff. So, you know, they can still use a guy there as well. So as the Packers look to add a return specialist, this is a name to keep an eye on. I've kind of been ignoring the live blog here with Sigmund Bloom on the first half of the show. I'm going to go check out the live blog here and check out the conversation that's been going on over at our homepage at cheeseheadtv.com. Packers Lounge. They're talking about the basketball game last night. Packers Lounge says that game was like every Badgers Sweet 16 game ever. It certainly does seem like that, doesn't it? They do a pretty good job of advancing out of the first weekend, and after that, they seem to struggle in the second weekend, the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. Packers Lounge, Alex Talich, I don't know if Bo was there in their Final Four. No, he was not. That was under Dick Bennett. I was in college at Wisconsin when that happened, so I remember that very, very sharply. Wisconsin's appearance in the Final Four came in, I believe, 2000, the year 2000. And so now, geez, 11 years ago, that was. So we were talking about Packers and their need for a kick return specialist. And as I was saying here at the bottom of the hour, in just a couple minutes, we're going to get running back Chad Spann of Northern Illinois on the show. I'll have to ask him how much experience he has at returning kickoffs. Running back from Northern Illinois. Really excited to talk to him, have him on. Great player at Northern Illinois University. Like I said, 2010 MAC Offensive Player of the Year. So we will have to ask him how much kick return experience he has and special teams in general. Whether it's kick coverage or punt return or extra point, I don't. He's got too much experience on units like that. But it'll be interesting to see, because he's kind of a smaller running back, kind of a, you know, a guy known for his speed and quickness. You know, not a power runner. So we will get to that He's not, you know, Northern Illinois has produced some running backs before. They've produced Michael Turner of the Falcons. So they're kind of known for producing running backs. But, you know, Michael Turner, as we know, is kind of in a class by himself. Michael Turner can run over just about anyone and has run over many linebackers in the NFL. Chad Spann isn't the same type of running back. He's a speed guy, a quickness guy. So we'll talk to him about that as well. So, again here, though, you know, getting to the kick return position, the return position. Once again, I think the Packers have to address that position. They have to address the kick return specialist somehow. You know, they didn't do it last year. I mean, they tried with several options. They tried with a couple rookies. They tried with Sam Shields. They tried with running back James Starks. But nothing seemed to work out last season. Shields couldn't hang on to the ball. Starks had his own muff or fumble, I remember, during the regular season, I believe, when getting a chance to return some kicks. Just, nothing's worked out for the Packers for years on the return specialist front. You know, so Mike McCarthy said, I think it was at the NFL Combine at his press conference, had mentioned that, you know, he's kind of shied away from, you know, small, quick guys on offense. And he thought that, you know, maybe it's time to find a place for these small, quick guys on his offense in the slot or something like that, which would be a change for the Packers, you know, to get a 5'8 jitterbug. But those guys, you know, they're certainly utilized well other places in the NFL. And a guy who can double as a return specialist on kick returns and punt returns and be a threat, be a guy who can score. The Packers have not scored a touchdown on a kickoff return for now over a decade, I believe. The last one to do it was, the name escapes me right now. Was it Allen Rossum? You know, back over a decade ago about. And certainly haven't had a Desmond Howard, you know, the last time the Packers won the Super Bowl. So, I think it would really improve the special teams as a whole, because it can improve two units. It can improve your kick return, and it can improve your punt return. I mean, the Packers have, they've shown they can win a Super Bowl with average special teams, if not below average special teams. They've shown they can win a Super Bowl with it. So, I mean, is this a huge need? I suppose not, but I mean, you know, the Packers don't have many needs. And if you are going to look at the holes on the team, I suppose this is one of them. David, Midwest fan, comments, I'm not worried about special teams, and can't believe he just said he's not worried about special teams. He says, seriously, though, no team is perfect. Our offense defense will make up for the bad special teams play. Certainly, and they did this past season. They did in 2010. They made up for deficiencies in the special teams department. Folks, it's 8:30. It's the bottom of the hour. I'm going to take a break here.
This is James Jones, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Welcome back to Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Carvu, and joining me right now on the line is Northern Illinois running back and draft prospect Chad Spann. Chad, how are you this morning?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Very good. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us today. Northern Illinois has produced some very good running backs in the past decade. Michael Turner, Garrett Wolf. Chad, do you feel any pressure to perform as well as those guys before you?
Not at all. You know, I actually chose this school, you know, because of those guys. You know, they really set the tone For me, especially being smaller running backs, you know, Michael Thomas around my height, Garrett Wolfe a little bit short, and even LaShawn Johnson. You know, all those guys, you know, just really, you know, made it easier for me to make this decision to come to Northern Illinois and you know, try to live up to their, you know, to their standards.
A LaShawn Johnson reference, actually played for the Packers. Chad, if you don't know, we're in Wisconsin, and most of the people watching the show are Packer fans. So for a LaShawn Johnson reference, that brings back memories for us. Chad, certainly you're a very different type of running back than Michael Turner. How would you describe yourself? What are your strengths?
Well, I think I'm you know, a physical downhill runner, kind of like Michael Turner, but, you know, I'm small. I think I'm quicker, and, I just got a nose for the end zone. I think that's been my, you know, MO for the last couple of years, is being able to find the end zone, and I think that's a big difference maker.
Nose for the end zone, very good. You've told us about your strengths. Now, what are some of the things you still need to work on to be able to compete at the next level?
Definitely, you know, being able to catch the ball out of the backfield. You know, we didn't throw the ball a lot to running backs here, you know, in Northern Illinois with our power offense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's definitely something that, you know, not saying I can't do it. It's just something, you know, I could always, you know, improve, keep working on, stuff like that, as well as actually blocking. You know, you never get too good at, you know, pass protection. So that's another thing I can definitely keep working on.
You were the MAC 2010 Offensive Player of the Year, which is a very impressive honor. I think sometimes the MAC conference doesn't get a lot of respect nationally, yet they're putting a lot of good players in the NFL. Does the MAC not get enough respect?
Yeah, I think sometimes a lot of people do forget about the MAC. You know, they put out a lot of great players. You know, Ben Roethlisberger, you know, been to a couple Super Bowls, and he's a MAC player. You know, there's a lot of guys, I believe there are 7 MAC players in the Super Bowl this year. There's a lot of talented guys in here that, you know, sometimes get overlooked because of the name of the conference, but I think it's loaded with talent.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers themselves have several players from the MAC on their team, so them being one of the Super Bowl participants, so we know all about the talent that comes from the conference. We're talking with Chad Spann, a running back from the University of Northern Illinois. Chad, you recently had your pro day workout in front of NFL scouts. How did that go?
It definitely went pretty well. Had a nice turnout of
From what I understand, Chargers general manager A.J. Smith was there. The Chargers have a history of drafting Northern Illinois players with Michael Turner and Larry English. What is it about Northern Illinois and San Diego?
I'm not sure. I guess they like the work ethic of the guys here at Northern Illinois, because that's what we preach, and it showed up. You know, with Michael Turner, with Larry English, and he wanted to get another look at, you know, all the guys coming out of Northern Illinois this year.
Is there any interest there? Does that kind of intrigue you a little bit that they could be looking at you?
Oh, absolutely. It's a tremendous honor for to have, you know, AJ Smith, the GM, to come out, you know, to my pro day, you know, as well as being able to play with, my former teammate Larry English again. That'd be awesome.
As I said before, most of our listeners are Packer fans, and I think they want to know, were the Packers at your workout, or did you talk to the Packers at all? I realize you probably talked to a bunch of scouts from different teams, but were the Packers among them?
The Packers were not at my pro day, but I did talk to them while I was at the Texas First Nation All-Star game.
How did that go? How did you perform in that game? How did the whole week go? Because a lot of times the week of practice prior to the game is more important than the game itself.
Oh, I think it went real well. There was a lot of talented guys down there. You know, a lot of good guys that you usually don't have the opportunity to meet. And I think my practices went very well, and I ended up starting for the Texas team that week. So I think my my ability shined through in practice, and it turned a lot of heads, and got me approved to be the starter.
You started for the Texas team. Are you from Texas originally?
No, I'm not. I'm not exactly sure how that worked out, but I really have no connection to Texas at all. But I play for the Texas team.
Very good, Chad. Thank you so much for joining us today. Hey, if you happen to get drafted by the Packers, we'd love to talk to you again. But in any case, good luck to you wherever you go, whoever you may sign with.
I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Chad. Take care.
You too.
Chad Spann, University of Northern Illinois running back, joining us here on Railbird Central. Great to talk to Mr. Chad Spann. So that's interesting. He played in the Texas versus the Nation All-Star game. Of course, if you're not too much of a follower of college football, there's all these postseason All-Star games. I'm sure you've heard of them. There's the one that gets the most attention is the Senior Bowl, and after that there is the East-West Shrine Game, and then there's also the Texas versus the Nation game. So players who either went to college in Texas or grew up in Texas versus the rest of the nation. The rest of the nation. So Chad Spann starts for the Texas team. He's not even from Texas. Didn't go to college in Texas. But that's great. So great to talk to Chad Spann. A late round prospect, could be an undrafted free agent guy. But, he's a talented guy. Whether he gets drafted or not, this is going to be the type of guy who gets a chance somewhere, going to sign with somebody. And see what he can do. It kind of reminds you almost who's the running back the Packers had 2 years ago that turned a lot of heads in training camp, and then the Packers cut him on the last cut down date from training camp. Ended up going to Carolina, I believe. His name escapes me, not coming to me at the moment. Somebody will put it up on the live blog, but, kind of almost reminds me of a guy like that, a guy who signs with the team after the draft and could really make an impression and perhaps stick around. So John Rahorse says, Chad Spann, he's 5'9", 200 pounds, and he's like a bowling ball running. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what he's like. He's not Michael Turner in that he's going to be that type of bowling ball. But certainly Chad Spann, though, is a little bit quicker, can beat some guys with his speed. Not to say Chad Spann isn't tough. I mean, I've seen him. He'll get his nose in there and, try to run over some guys as well. Just, perhaps not in that those thick legs category like Michael Turner has. So, very interesting. So great to have him on, and, good luck to wherever he goes and ends up, perhaps the Chargers. So the Chargers, I don't know what it is. They have the connection with Northern Illinois. I tried to book Chad to come on the show here today because Northern Illinois isn't that far away from Wisconsin. It's really obviously Northern Illinois. It's not that far from the southern border of Wisconsin. I've been to a game or two at Northern Illinois. Every once in a while, I'll head down there on a Saturday afternoon and check them out. So great to have them on. I've been there. Good atmosphere in what's the city's name there that they're located in? I forget that too, but. David says there should be a James Starks versus the Nation game. There should be, shouldn't there? I mean, that would be unfair to the Nation, though. I mean, it would have to be James Starks versus the world, wouldn't it? Or James Starks for the versus the universe, to be fair. I mean, James Starks versus the Nation. I mean, that's just a handicap match right there. That's not even fair, David. That's, you shouldn't even tease the nation like that. That they'd have a chance to beat James Starks alone. James Starks, the folk hero of the Green Bay Packers. So is James Starks going to be the starting running back this year? You know, there's kind of been a little bit of talk that Ryan Grant could be cut. He has a rather large roster bonus, I believe. The 15th day of the league year, whenever that is, whenever there's a new CBA, he's going to get a large, you know, it's over $1 million. And there's thought, perhaps, that the Packers could cut him to avoid having to pay that bonus and just go with James Starks as their running back. I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, it's just been discussed because of the high workout, or I'm sorry, roster bonus of Ryan Grant. John Rayor came up with the name of the Packers running back who was on their training camp roster. Couple, I believe 2 years ago, this was the 2009 season, Tyrell Sutton. And yeah, Tyrell Sutton had a great training camp with the Packers. Great. You know, was undrafted, signed as an undrafted free agent, you know, just had a great preseason. Yeah, I believe he led the Packers in rushing that preseason. Everybody kind of thought he would stick with the team, and they cut him on the final cut down. And, you know, he stuck around in the NFL. He found a job with Carolina, and I thought the Packers should keep him. I thought he was good enough, but that's all right. I mean, the Packers have shown they've known what they're doing. They won a Super Bowl. Ted Thompson knows what he's doing. Everybody has to give it to him, has to hand it to him now. Have to admit that he knows what he's doing. Found out something interesting here in today's Packers Daily Links. If we go down a little bit, scroll down. It says Pete Doherty, but I believe it's Rob Domofsky, and I'm sorry. Rob Domofsky had an online chat with readers yesterday and brought up something I didn't know, didn't think about, was asked about. How much contact draft choices can have with the teams that draft them. Can they negotiate contracts? And Rob Domofsky answered the question. He wrote, quote, "The teams can talk to players during the draft process and can even bring first-round draft picks in for media obligations for 24 hours following when they're drafted, but no negotiations can take place." So, you know, kind of interesting. Obviously, I think teams will have contact with players before the draft, you know, if they're, you know, interested in drafting them. Of course, they're going to contact them and let them know that, especially, you know, immediately before they draft them. But, yeah, I think what you can expect to see when the draft comes in another month or so is just over a month now, so about a month away from the draft. I think you'll see the Packers bring in their first draft choice in for a press conference, probably, you know, the day following the draft, so that Monday following or Sunday even perhaps, and you'll get all the media coverage from that. The local newspapers and TV stations will cover that. But after that, that's going to kind of be the last news for a while. You'll hear about, you know, the NFL in general, let alone the draft choices, if a lockout is still in place. You know, I suppose a lot can happen in a month's time here yet, but not looking good at this point. And just another interesting story I found for today's Packers Daily Links. Tight end JerMichael Finley on Twitter. I imagine a lot of people watching the show are on Twitter and follow JerMichael Finley and other Packers. And anyway, he made fun of Chad Ochocinco, Bengals wide receiver. There's an article about this. at Yahoo. Here's the article. He made fun of him for Ocho Cinco's professional soccer tryout. He tried out, I believe, with the Kansas City franchise in Major League Soccer, MLS. You know, a lot of people have thought this is a publicity stunt, but, you know, Ocho Cinco did play soccer in high school, I believe, and, you know, is just a good all-around athlete, and you know, maybe it is a publicity stunt, but he tried hard and has talent there, so... But anyway, Jermichael Finley had tweeted, "Man, I think this cat Ocho Cinco is a clown. Bro, soccer, seriously, sit down and wait for this lockout to be over and play what you know best." So Jermichael Finley making fun of Chad Ocho Cinco, calling him a clown. And Ocho Cinco replied, not directly to Finley, but responded to the negative criticism with Ocho Cinco wrote, "You always expect the negative to come from the outside, but it's sad as expletive when it comes from within. That's some funny stuff." So Ocho Cinco not happy with the negative reaction he is getting. If anybody out there wants to call into the show, I'll open up the phone lines here, 646-797-2909, as we kind of wrap up the show for today. If anybody has any questions or wants to talk anything about the Packers here, 646-797-2909. Feel free to call in if you want. As we kind of wrap it up here, and for the last couple minutes, want to talk about the draft, and once again, the Cheesehead TV 2011 NFL Draft Guide. If you don't know, we're putting together here at Cheesehead TV a draft guide that is Packers-specific, Packers-centric. I've played a part in it along with Alex Talich, our assistant editor and layout designer. I've asked writers from around the blogosphere to take part in this, and we're really proud of it. And the good news is that the Cheesehead TV draft guide is ahead of schedule. We originally slated it to come out on April 7th, and I think it's going to come out a few days ahead of time. So really excited about that. We're ahead of schedule, so we originally... You know, we're going to release it 3 weeks ahead of the draft, exactly 3 weeks. Like April 7th was a Thursday, and 3 weeks after that on Thursday, the draft starts, April 28th, if I'm correct. And we're going to release it, hopefully, a couple days earlier. We're ahead of schedule and just really excited. We're now at over 70 pages in the draft guide. Could even be approaching 80 by the time it's all said and done. So it is Packers specific. What it is, you know, we've broken down the positions into what the Packers are looking for. You know, they run a 3-4 defense, so we break up the linebackers into 3-4 outside linebackers and 3-4 inside linebackers. And then we kind of lump all the defensive linemen together, you know, whether they're an end or the nose tackle. We've seen those guys bounce around all over. We've seen Ryan Pickett and Cullen Jenkins play end in the base 3-4 and then move inside to a pass-rushing tackle in nickel situations. Last year, we saw B.J. Raji play end. Those guys are almost, you know, moving parts, we'll say. You can move them around, so... We're really excited about this. You know, it's Packers specific. So if you're a Packers fan, go to our Cheesehead TV homepage. I know right now the homepage is taken over by our live broadcast here. But actually, you can scroll to the top of the screen and click shop. If you just at the very top of your screen click shop, it'll take you to our order page. And it's for the cheap, cheap price of, we believe, $5. So, you know, for 70 plus pages, of a draft guide specifically targeted to Packers fans, I think that's a pretty good deal, a pretty fair deal, and I'm guarantee you're going to love it. You're going to love it. We've spent a lot of time at it. And again, some more ways we've tailored this to Packers fans is that, you know, every draft publication takes a look at team needs. What we've done is we've given the most attention to the needs of the Packers. There's an entire page just on team needs for the Green Bay Packers. What we perceive to be the weaknesses of the team, where they could use some help. And what we've done is each page after that is there's another page dedicated to just the NFC North, the teams, the players, the Packers play the most. Two times a year against the Bears, the Lions, and the Vikings. So there's another page just dedicated to those three teams. And then the third page is dedicated to the rest of the NFC, the teams the Packers would see in the NFC playoffs, and the other teams they would see the most in the regular season. And then finally, there's one page dedicated to the entire AFC. So, you know, not quite as in-depth because there's more to fit on a page. But, I mean, the Packers just don't see the teams from the AFC that often. They only play a handful of regular season games against them, and if they're lucky enough to get to the Super Bowl and face one. So, they don't play the AFC teams that often. So, you know, we kind of tailor it how much coverage we're giving to the teams the Packers play based upon how often they play them, which we really think, you know, again, targets our audience here. You, the Packer fan, who probably doesn't care a whole lot about what the Miami Dolphins are doing in the AFC East. So, yes, you have a general interest in them, but we're not going to devote an entire page to the Miami Dolphins just because you probably don't care as much about the Miami Dolphins. You know, not to say you wouldn't have read a quick little blurb about them, and that's what we provide. We provide a little blurb about them and the rest of the AFC team. So, really excited about that. And we have both a mock draft. We have a 3-round mock draft. You look around the internet, and you see a lot of first-round mock drafts predicting the entire first round of the draft. We predict the entire first 3 rounds. We go that much in depth. And I realize there's a couple of those out there on the internet if you search. And we realize that we're probably not going to be that accurate with a 3-round mock draft. Nobody is. But it at least gives you an idea of who will be going in those rounds. You know, we might not have the teams exact, but I think the guys predicted to go in the 3rd round of our mock draft will go, you know, somewhere in that time frame, you know, in the 3rd round. So should at least give you an idea. And we have a Packers-specific mock draft written by Jersey Al Bracco of allgreenbaypackers.com, our friend here at Cheesehead TV. He's done a Packers-specific mock draft trying to predict who the Packers will draft in each round, who they'll take in the 1st round, who they'll take in the 2nd, who they'll take in the 3rd. And again, you know, we're not going to be spot on. It might be great to get a pick or two right. But, you know, again, just giving you an idea of who's going to be taken at those spots. You know, just looking at intriguing players. And if we happen to get a couple right, we're going to brag about it. So really excited about that. Go check it out. It's available for pre-order right now. If you click shop at the top of the screen, it's available for pre-order. And then when it's all set, when we're all ready to go on April 7th, we're going to send it out to everybody all at the same time. And like I said, it's ahead of schedule, so hopefully we'll send it out a little bit earlier. David asks, do we predict trades in our mock draft? No, we haven't predicted any trades. So those are kind of hard to predict. We're just going to assume the Packers keep all their picks, which I know probably is a stretch. I mean, every year there's at least one or two trades made. So, but they're tough to predict. So, I mean, you know, to be able to predict, you know, a 4th round trade that involves 3 draft choices, you know, impossible to predict. So we're just trying to get, you know, people a taste of who we think will go at those spots. And by the way, it's supposed to be announced today, the compensatory draft choices. The Packers are going to get a compensatory draft choice for losing Aaron Campman. That is going to be announced sometime today, I'm told. So we got some Packers news coming up today. Stick around for that. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here on Cheesehead TV on Railbird Central this morning. Thank you to our guest, Sigmund Bloom of footballguys.com, and Northern Illinois running back and draft prospect Chad Spann for joining us. It's been a fun show. Have a great weekend, everyone. Have a great Friday. Come back on Tuesday for another episode of Railbird Central. Take care, everyone. We'll see ya. Have a good weekend.